Hello and welcome to Outspoken Beauty, the UK's most honest and very outspoken beauty podcast. I'm Nicola Vaughan. I'm joined by the legendary producer and gobby lady, Rachel Jones.
Who you call it gobby?
You. And this week we're talking all about, hit it Rachel,
beauty and social media.
So beauty and social media, a relationship that just seems to get stronger every year. So many people now are on YouTube, on Instagram, talking about the beauty products they love, making recommendations. So many beauty brands rely on social media for their popularity. In fact, some beauty brands have only been sold via social media and are doing incredibly well. Now, there are two girls who probably know more about beauty and social media than anyone else. Right at the start of YouTube, they bought out their channel giving makeup tutorials. At the beginning, they had a couple of hundred people watching them. Now they have millions of subscribers. They have a beauty brand that is bought all over the world. They are Pixie Woo.
In this episode, we were very lucky to be joined by one half of Pixie Woo, Sam Chapman. Now, she'll be telling us all about her social media journey and how it changed her life.
We went against our gut and said, all right, we'll do it your way. And it just backfired because it wasn't authentic to us. Even though the product was great,
Yeah. The
messaging wasn't right.
And to finish the episode, we'll be giving you some of the best beauty recommendations that we've discovered via social media.
So I'm a girl whose knowledge of beauty is getting better by the day.
And I'm a woman who's just getting the hang of Instagram.
So we thought, let's just cut straight to the chase and chat to the woman who knows it all, the brilliant Sam Chapman.
So welcome, one half of Pixie Woo, Sam. Where's Nick today?
She is doing a talk for Grazia.
Do you, when you separate, do you feel lonely? Is it like, or do you feel like, no, I like being on my own?
Feel slightly liberated, actually. We don't normally do things separately, but this came up on the same day and we just thought, well, divide and conquer.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Give it a go.
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Well, we're talking about something that is just you completely, because we're talking about beauty and social media, and you were just so at the forefront of this. I mean, were you the first beauty YouTuber?
There was a couple of people before us, but not seriously. We were the first makeup artist to go on there and do it, yeah.
Remind me, because I remember your story. It was all to do with you were just helping friends to begin
with.
Yeah,
that's right. I mean, we've been on there 10 years now, and I was really heavily pregnant. I'd just finished freelancing.
Yeah.
So, and I'd got into forums and someone online said, oh, can you show me how to do a smoky eye? And so I thought, right, well, if I break this down into an email, you're not going to be able to follow it. So I just filmed it on my own eyes, stuck it on YouTube, and it became this thing. And it
just
snowballed
from there.
How many people
watched that video?
I don't know. I mean, maybe a couple of hundred in the first early days,
yeah.
But that was massive. And now probably 25,000 on that particular video.
Yeah.
But now we do hundreds of thousands on a video.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was this incredible community that we didn't know were there, that were really kind of like eager to learn and ask questions and find out good ways of getting great results.
You've made a nation, or globally, a lot of women into almost professional makeup artists. The skills you teach, it's quite, the things I've learned through you, the things I've bought, it's quite amazing, and really does lead me on to the word influencer, because you are, as social influencers go, absolutely huge. Do you ever take a step back and think, I can't, you know, can you believe the amount of money you've probably encouraged people to spend on the beauty industry is probably mind-blowing.
I think it probably is, but that isn't my MO. I don't love the word influencer because it implies that I'm trying to influence people to buy stuff, and I'm not really. I'm more about them learning the skills to make themselves look and feel great. So I don't really care what products you buy, and I also say, just because I love this product doesn't necessarily mean that you will. And that's a big thing about social media, is that it's very important to find somebody that has similar skin type to you, because I have incredibly dry skin. So if you had an oily skin and you went out and bought everything I use, all my skincare, you'd hate it all, and it would be a terrible waste of money. So and that's why we do things like Instagram Live and Facebook Live and YouTube Live, because people can interact with us right there and then ask us the questions, and we can say, actually, maybe this isn't right for you. Perhaps try this product instead.
So you're obviously, I mean, that's a very good way of doing it, and people can trust you and you're giving the right advice. Now, talking about social media and beauty, I worry there are a lot of people out there who give advice and who say, buy this product, but because they don't have the knowledge, because, you know, you've been trained in beauty professionally, because they don't have the knowledge, they're actually giving people the wrong advice and encouraging people trust them, people spend a lot of money, and really they're wasting their money.
I think that happens a lot, but that happens a lot everywhere. You know, we are influenced. When you look through a magazine, you might see an advert for a certain product, and then two pages later, that product is in the beauty picks for, you know, because everyone's influenced by the advertisers at the end of the day. So we do have to remember that. But there are very strict laws and rules now about how you work with brands, how you get paid.
So tell us about that.
Right. So if you've been paid to feature a product, you have to disclaim the fact that you have been. So if you're on YouTube, it needs to say hashtag ad in the title of the video. Or if it's a small portion of the video, it needs to say it in the top line of the description box. So people are aware. It's very important that they're aware. Nick and I, whenever we do sponsored content, which is not very often, we say it in the first 10 seconds of the video. So people are under no illusions, you know, thanks to whoever it is that that sponsored this video. But, you know, the other thing we do is we don't take money if we don't like the product. If I wouldn't spend my own money on it, I'm not going to promote it.
That's good.
Because there are tons of products out there, and we get asked all the time, from all sorts of things, toothpaste, you know, tampons, anything, and all sorts of makeup products as well. And I'm just like, no, if we try everything and if we don't like it, it just doesn't.
And I suppose if you actually went for a product that wasn't very good, that could taint your reputation. And the
Absolutely.
Trust you have with your followers.
It's really important. We only team with brands that we love and the products that we love. It's just, it's always been our way. And I think once in the early days, we teamed up with a brand and we loved the products, but we weren't really sure about the way they wanted us to message it.
Yeah.
And we went against our gut and said, all right, we'll do it your way. And it just backfired because it wasn't authentic to us. Even though the product was great, the messaging wasn't right. So now we're really strict about how we work with brands. A brand will come to us and we'll say, right, okay, we love this product. This is the way that we're going to talk about it, because this is the way I would talk to you about it, Nick. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's really important that you don't put words in my mouth that I wouldn't use.
And I think a lot of advertisers aren't used to that, because
they're
often very much in control, aren't they? And they say, right, we want this message done this way. But that's the thing about someone like you. They're paying for you, the real you.
And I think that that's a great way to tell if someone is authentic about the products that they're using or not. Like, if I'm watching something and I'm like, something about this doesn't feel right, there's a reason it doesn't feel right.
I don't know if you've seen on Instagram that there have been these posts. People will promote a product, but in the, like, where you'd write the comment about it, say what it is, they've just copy and pasted what's been written in the email that they've been sent.
Really?
So they've been caught out and said, hi, love, if you can just say something like this, and then copy and paste it all, and then just put it up on their Instagram. And now that's there for everyone to see. They've been caught out. They might edit it later, but everyone knows they've been paid for that. They really haven't tried this product. Otherwise, they would have said their own.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they also should be crediting the fact that it is an ad in the first place. You know, people should know the second they see that picture, it should be, you know, you should be, as well as seeing the picture, be aware that it's an ad. It's really important.
Sometimes, even if it is an ad, I think people don't realise quite how powerful it is when you're going through your Facebook feed and seeing things that are very familiar to you, your family, your friends, and suddenly you see a video of someone saying, look, this is amazing, look what it's done for me. I think the level of trust you give that is so much more than if you saw an advert on television. It gets you in the heart. It's a real personal relationship, which is why, do you remember, please say you've never used these, those black paw removing sticky things. Now, to me, they're probably the dodgiest thing you could ever put on your face.
Yeah.
But looking at the ad, you'd think you could trust them implicitly.
Well, what I find really fascinating is I have a 13-year-old daughter who consumes media in the way that other, you know, young millennials and Gen Zs would.
Yeah.
And she's constantly asking me for stuff like that. Mum, can you get this? There's this, it's like a gadget that sucks your blackheads out. Have you seen that one?
I've seen it, yes.
And you look at it and you're like, God, that looks amazing. It even got me. I was like, really? Well, we bought it.
You did.
Rubbish. Total rubbish. Didn't work at all. Yeah. I mean, I still do it. I still do it.
You still fall for it?
Yeah. I do a bit.
But I suppose also it's interesting for you just to research.
Well, yeah. I mean, I do it for research as well. Yeah. I want to know if it works. Nothing I've ever bought has worked yet.
No, they promise the world, yeah, don't they, some of these products? Work. They really do. But I think the way you consume social media, you have to have a level of taking a step back. And before you press buy, which is so easy to do once you're online, just say, okay, do I really trust what I'm seeing here?
And it is so hard, though, because you see these things everywhere. Like this charcoal blackhead remover thing.
Yeah.
It was everywhere, all over Instagram. Everywhere in the shops, it seemed like it was getting all this big praise.
Yeah.
And you go and buy it, and it's actually so bad for your skin.
Absolutely.
So bad.
But then one brand that's done really well is Sand and Sky. They've become an absolute phenomenon, and they just started on Facebook, didn't they?
I mean, tons of brands have done really well from social media. So Anastasia Beverly Hills, have you heard of
was
that?
Yeah. Did that start on social media?
I mean, she was a small makeup artist brand, niche brand in LA.
Yeah.
But she had excellent brow products. And then Nick and I started using it here in this country. It wasn't even available here.
I remember you telling me about it years ago.
It was amazing. And it's just blown up huge online. Huda Beauty, massive. They have a counter in Selfridges, you know, so it's like...
Trini,
absolutely.
The way Trini's done it is fascinating for me.
Don't know the background to Trini, but what I do know is that there is an awful lot of women, and I don't want to say of a certain age, let's say there's an awful lot of women my age, over the age of 35,
yes,
I'm 40, that are massively ignored by beauty.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we can name how many women there are that are beauty ambassadors. There's Jane Fonda, there's Helen Mirren. Name me more.
Oh, absolutely.
There aren't many.
No.
And so and these are women that have a huge amount of dispensable income to spend on these products, and these are women that really care about beauty and about making the most of themselves. And so what Trini's done is great, because Trini's gorgeous.
She is.
I look at Trini and I'm like, oh, I want to hang out with you, Trini. I want to be mates with you.
Yeah.
You seem really fun.
And you get to know and you think she's fun, and therefore you buy the product.
Yeah,
and it works beautifully.
There's something amazingly quirky about her being a tiny bit bonkers as well.
Yes.
You know, it's so incredibly eccentric British that it just, I'm sold on it.
Yeah. So, what do you think people love about you and Nick?
I can tell you
what I think, but I want to hear from you. What do you, because you've... You know, yes, you're a very good makeup artist, but there are lots of very good makeup artists in the world. What have you done that's captured everyone's interest over the last 10 years the way it has?
I don't know. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about that. I suppose it's probably because we're sisters. People like that dynamic, although we don't really get a chance to film together so much now. I don't really know. You tell me, Nick.
I think you're a mixture of real, trustworthy, friendly, down-to-earth, but you've also got this feeling of slight celebrity about you, the way you both look. And so people think, wow, maybe I could be a bit like them, because it's not so distant that you can't grab it, but you still got that. Do you agree? That balance. You've got a balance about it. So you could be my best friend, but also I really think, oh, actually, I would love to be you too.
We get a lot of comments like, oh, I would just like to hang out with you girls.
Yes.
So tons of those, which is really nice. I love that. I mean, we still do all our own social media. We still answer all our own comments.
Do you really? You don't have any PA doing that?
Well, no, we have Stacey that works in our office who does, she writes blog posts.
Yeah.
So we don't do the blog posts. But all the comments, on our personal Instagrams, all the comments on YouTube, So... Yeah, but the blog, not so much, because that's really just reviewing products.
Yeah, which isn't completely what you do. Instagram, actually, is really, we were going to chat to you about that, because it's, for me, it seems to be the most popular thing at the moment. I don't know if, tell me where we're at, really, from your point of view. So what part in your life Instagram plays, also where YouTube's at and things like that?
I think it's very, very, what's happened is it's really different audiences across all those different platforms.
Yeah.
So Facebook is a slightly more mature audience. I tend to think about Facebook as being so influential. It's like the Daily Mail of social media.
Okay.
Right? So things can escalate there. There can be, you know, there's always stuff going on that...
Big debates. Well,
yes, debates is a nice way of putting it.
Yeah.
yes. Twitter is for people with opinions.
Yeah.
So all different age groups, but lots of opinions over there. Instagram is a much younger audience, and YouTube is the youngest audience.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you're not getting women our age kind of sitting down really and watching a lot of YouTube?
No.
They'll seek it, I suppose.
Yes.
Like the other day I sought it because I wanted to learn how to use my curlers,
yeah, for example. It's a much smaller percentage. We know that our audience is, I mean, the biggest I think is 18 to 25.
Yeah.
But then goes down to 13 to 18, I think.
Really?
Yeah. And then it's your 35s to onwards. But we go all the way up to 60, 68 plus, I think.
So are they finding you via Facebook? Or you don't really know?
No, I don't really know.
Interesting.
I don't really know. But we also don't call a younger audience so much because we talk to people like we would our mates, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I don't know how interesting our content is for a younger audience.
So for somebody who wanted to start in social media now, what I suppose they would have to take a step back and say, who am I talking to? And then approach it that way.
Absolutely. I think, you talk to the camera like you would talk to your friends, and you have to talk about something that you're interested in and you're passionate about. There's an awful lot of people now that just see it as this big cash cow. Right, okay, what can I do to make some money in social media? Because all you hear are these stories of all the people that are making millions and millions and millions.
Yeah.
But you mustn't forget the millions of people that don't make a penny doing it.
That's the thing, isn't it?
I mean, there are millions. I would say perhaps the percentage that actually make a living out of it would be maybe one or two.
People forget that.
Yeah.
When you're watching these successful YouTubers, you look at them, you think, it looks so easy. But it's a skill, being a really successful YouTuber. Like, when a video is pointing in your face, to be natural, to be friendly, to be likeable, that is not easy.
It's not easy, but also, you know, it's the technical side of it as well. You've got to light it, you've got to do the sound yourself, you then have to edit it, and then you have to upload it as well. So all of that stuff we still do.
How long does it take, one video, from start to finish?
Used to take 8 hours, now it takes me...
8 hours?
Yeah, it used to, not now. I mean, we've been doing it so long, do it in my sleep now. I used to, you know, watch the video back and check it. I never watch it back now because I just know I've done it right.
Yeah.
So I would say probably 3 hours now.
3 hours is still a lot of work.
Yeah.
Now, you and Nick, I think you do your makeup stuff, but then you've also, I suppose, you've got to know your followers really well. So over the years, you've talked about some really personal, very emotional things. And I think Nick's story about her health, it captured everyone. I mean, everyone was just so upset for her and really with her. And do you find living your life, I suppose, in the spotlight comes effortlessly? Is it something that just comes with what you do and it's just part of your life now?
I think it is part of our life, but also because we have a platform, you feel a sense of responsibility to talk about these things because there's an awful lot of people that are looking for that information but can't get it. You know, Nick has MS.
Yeah.
And there are other people out there that have MS. And when she was diagnosed with that, obviously she felt that that was the end of the world.
Yeah.
And there'll be other people out there that... And sometimes you just want to... She says she, as soon as she found out, she Googled famous people with MS because she just wanted to see somebody that was living with it to know that it was possible to live with
it. To give her some hope.
Absolutely. So for her, once she'd come to terms with it, she felt it was really important for her to talk about it so that other people could relate to that and ask her questions. You know, she'll never answer anything, you know, that a doctor should answer.
No.
But just in terms of how you deal with it and how she's dealt with it, she's very open about it. And, you know, with my mental health, people are so, you know, they don't want to mention it. They don't want to talk about mental health because, you know, it might affect jobs they get. It might affect how people talk to them. But actually, it's so normal. And when I talked about anxiety and having depression, you wouldn't believe the amount of my actual friends that emailed me privately and said, oh, I've been struggling with this for years. I didn't tell anyone.
People are ashamed.
Absolutely. People are ashamed. And it is just a thing that comes and goes, or you might have it your whole life, or, you know, it's just a thing that so many people have. It's okay to talk about
it. And when people like you do normalise it, I think, you know, there are bosses out there. I know, because, you know, I've suffered from anxiety for a long time. And I think that, you know, a few years ago, if I'd gone to a job interview and said, look, I get panic attacks, they would have been like, well, no, sorry, I don't want that. I don't want somebody unstable. But now, because so many people are talking like you on massive platforms, it's becoming the norm.
I think so. And a lot of people suggest that social media might be part of the problem. And perhaps it is in some ways, but actually I think it could be part of the solution as well, because it connects us all with a voice that we can discuss it and talk about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important.
Social media, so would you say it's generally a very positive thing, or do you, what would you say for you are the negative sides of social media? And beauty, kind of, as well, with beauty.
I suppose negative sides of it are, I mean, obviously I see it from my daughter's perspective, and she believes everything, and I just find it so upsetting. I find it upsetting that she feels the need to wear, and that young people feel the need to wear so much makeup.
Yeah.
In an almost conforming type way.
Yes.
Because makeup really, it's so personal, and it's all about you feeling good. But it isn't like, you know, I want to wear Kim Kardashian's face on my face because I want to look like Kim Kardashian and I want that life.
Mm.
No one knows what her life's like. But we've kind of got so lost in this reality TV, which essentially what social media is.
Yeah.
That everyone's so influenced by it now.
I think you're so right. I think a lot of people do feel that by buying a Chanel moisturiser that Kim Kardashian uses, they will just have a little bit of her life.
Absolutely.
But when you get the pot home and you open it and put it in your face, you're like, oh, it's still my life.
and that's exactly it. But who knows what Kim K's life's like?
Yeah.
Who knows? Because you only see the best of anything.
A lot of people, what goes on behind closed doors, I think you need to remember that.
Absolutely. I mean, look, if I take a picture of myself, let's say I'm doing a selfie for Instagram. I'm not going to pick the worst one to post, am I?
No.
I'm going to pick the best one. I'm going to pick the one where my face looks the best, my eyes look the brightest, and I look the thinnest. That is a fact of life. Everyone does the same thing.
Yeah.
So you only get the very best version of everyone.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't judge your life against that. I have a thing with social media where I don't put anything out that I'm not happy to talk about.
Yeah.
That's it. Previously, I posted pictures of my boyfriend. But then, of course, when we split up, it ended up in the Sun or something like that. And you know, I'm not cool with that.
No.
But I put it out there, so I only have myself to blame. So now I might talk about going on a date in an Instagram Live, but I won't tell you who with. And, you know, they'll never feature on my page now.
No.
Because it's just not something that I would want to talk about. And also, I don't want people's opinions on whether they think he's good looking or not. I don't care.
It's that's yours and yours
only.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that's the thing. When you put it out there, you are asking for opinions. End of story.
Do you find as well that people sometimes will cloud your judgment slightly? So say you do put something out there that you maybe didn't want opinions on and you get all these opinions about it. Are you sometimes a bit like, well, I don't really care about what you think, but yeah, actually, that is a bit true and maybe that's a bit true.
It can ruin your day.
Yeah.
It can ruin your day. So, you know, like, that's why I just don't post about boyfriends, because that's such a personal thing.
Yeah.
But saying that, you know, I did an Instagram Live the other day and there's always a bunch of pervs on there. Anyway, one guy said one of your boobs is smaller than the other. And I went, yeah, it is. Do you know why? Because I had a breast reduction 2 years ago and one is smaller than the other.
Do you know what I mean?
Well done. And so I tend to kind of combat it by just telling the truth rather than going, oh, he's noticed.
Who cares that
you noticed that? No. Because actually, I would just tell everyone that anyway.
Yeah.
And that is why I'm so honest about mental health, you know, because actually people are just going to ask me questions anyway. You know, what Nick and I haven't been in a video for a while, and because Nick has MS, she now works from home.
Yeah.
So I don't see her so much as I did before. But actually it's okay, you know, because we used to be in each other's pockets all the time. But now people will say, have you and Nick fallen out?
Ugh.
Oh, she's my sister. Of course not.
Yeah.
You know, but what do you do? People are always going to jump to conclusions on things. But so I just sort of counteract everything by just telling the absolute truth.
Yeah,
so
when you can't go wrong.
No, when someone asks that, I say, no, Nick has MS. She works from home. And so I work from home now as well.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I do get it. I mean, it is a weird one being in social media and having and dealing with mental health. But everyone does deal with mental health on some degree.
Yeah.
It's just that we don't talk about it, especially creative people, you find.
Yeah, I think, well, opening the conversation, I think, is just brilliant. I want to talk about your brand, Real Techniques.
Yeah.
And so I suppose, you, obviously, you have your following, a huge following, and it's amazing now that you've bought out a brand. I mean, you've always talked about brushes from the very start. Say you'd launched this without the social media thing, it would have been a different story.
It would have
the
been.
Success, yeah.
It would have been, because the thing with our brand is it's built around social media. So every single brush comes with a tutorial of how to use it, or a bunch of tutorials if you go on our YouTube channel. So it you know, brushes are kind of daunting. A lot of people still use their fingers, or those little applicator things that come with eyeshadow. So we're constantly trying to move people towards getting the best finish they can, and you're going to get that from using brushes. But yeah, I mean, without the social media, I'm not sure how well it would have done.
Do your brushes sell all around the world now?
Global, yeah. We're in China, we're in the US, we're in Malaysia, we're in Australia. I mean, everywhere that you can think of, the brushes are there.
Can you believe that? And do you... No, I can't ask you about money, can I?
You can ask me about money if you
are
like.
Do the brushes bring in the largest income now, would you say?
Yes. Yes, amazing. Absolutely.
It's amazing.
But we do, you know, and the thing is, and I'm very open about money, not figures, but, you know, people frequently... look, you know, from when we started YouTube, we had substantially less money and less of the trappings that you have. You know, I didn't own my own house, I'll undo now.
Yes.
You know, I have a car, and that's great, and it's a wonderful luxury. But people ask me a lot about making money, and then if they see me in an expensive item of clothing or whatever, they're like, you've changed. Well, yeah, I have changed. Because I'm in a better financial situation. And so that does change things, because it gives you more choice.
Yeah.
But that happens to everyone, though. If I was to get a pay rise and I bought myself a Chanel handbag, people would be like, oh, you've changed. I'd be like, well, I got a pay rise. Bloody earned that bag. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. And this is what I say. You know what, guys? Who would spend 4 months of the year away from their kids without earning good money? Because that's what I do. I travel.
Yeah.
I travel and I work in the US or anywhere else that Real Techniques wants me to be.
Yeah.
And I do that for 2 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
Sometimes we go away every month for 2 weeks at a time. And that takes a massive toll, especially as your kids get older. It was fine when they were younger, but now they're older, my girls need me and want me all the time. And so whenever anyone questions me about it, I'm just like, do you know what? I deserve it. I work my absolute butt off.
Yeah.
To be in this situation, and I miss sports days, and I miss parents' evenings, and I feel guilty and like the worst mum in the world a lot of the time. But I'm also teaching my kids a good work ethic, and I'm, you know, I'm a single mum, and I just want my kids to be able to understand that sacrifices do have to be made, and that you can't be the best at everything.
And something always has to give.
Absolutely, something always has to give. And I think that really, a lot of that is to do with, you know, how I got into such a mess with my mental health, is trying to be everything to everyone, trying to be the best of everything to everyone. And you can't do it. You will crack up, you know. So now I'm just like, right, okay. And this year, in order to protect my mental health more, I pulled back from the amount of stuff I do for other people and the amount of stuff that, because I'm such a pusher of myself.
Yep.
Nick is too.
Yeah.
Hence, Nick's doing that one over here,
and you're
over
doing
there,
that one
and
over
I'm doing
here.
This one here. Because that's 2 days' work we don't have to do. We're doing it in one day. Because we just can't continue to push ourselves at that level. Especially Nick, she has MS. She has to think about, you know, a big health issue. I mean, if anyone ever questions me, that's my thing.
Good for you. You know? Have to learn to say no.
Can I just say, just want to almost thank you, and thank you on behalf of sort of like everyone my age.
Yeah.
Because I was one of those people who didn't know anything about, I don't really know anything about beauty now, but about makeup in general, and using the beauty blender, that was the first thing I bought, which is anything beauty related, and it just changed my life.
It's so easy to use as well.
It was amazing.
It's because it doesn't require a brush. Sometimes brushes, it's just like, I don't really know what to do with this. Do I have to be an artist to use it?
Yeah.
You don't, whereas
that's
with
exactly
a sponge,
what I was like.
It's you get a sponge and you're like, I can't go wrong with this. It's really simple. All I need to know is, do I use it wet or dry? The answer is either.
Either.
So it's a winner. And it's like, what, £5?
Yeah.
You know, so
And it makes the finish, like, it's so good, the finish you get with
it. It's brilliant. I used it this morning, actually, and I was using it, and this is another thing that I do with those brushes, because they're synthetic. You can use them anywhere with any product. So this morning I used the sponge to do my makeup, and then I only had an eyeshadow brush with me. And I was like, I'm going to put my concealer on with this.
I do.
And it was amazing. It's a brush I've never used for concealer.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant the blender.
No,
oh, you used an
I
eyeshadow
used an
brush.
Eyeshadow brush for my concealer, and I had to go on Instagram Live just to tell everyone. I was so happy with the result. Look at my base today. Yeah, so
your
yeah.
base does look very nice.
Thanks.
Very, very. What are you? What is your base?
I have really dry skin, and I love to mix. So, I've got Tom Ford Traceless foundation mixed with MAC Face and Body Light Pearl, which is a slightly kind of pearlescent, so it's going to give me a dewy finish. I'm really into it. So I've mixed those two together, pushed it all over my skin, and then I've set it with a Charlotte Tilbury press powder, because it really is the best press powder.
Yeah.
And then I spritzed over the top with MAC Fix Plus, but it has like a gold sheen through it.
Ooh, so you get an extra. That one.
Yeah, it's so good. So yeah.
So it's like an instant glow. Yeah.
Would you ever bring out your own makeup? Like full range.
God, like people ask that all the time. You know what is really difficult about doing a makeup range? The amount of extra time it would have to take out of my life. Yeah. And so I can't even consider that now, especially now that I'm taking a little bit more of a back seat. You know, I focus all my time on Real Techniques because that's a lot of energy and a lot of time. So I can't even think about it. Also, things that are really important to me are skin tones. And to start a brand, an entry-level brand, with all of the skin tones that would be required, is almost impossible.
Yeah, it's very hard, isn't it?
So I would rather not go there
than
to go there. Because people like Rihanna, I mean, she's killed it with Fenty.
Yeah,
she's done really, really well. She's done pretty much what I would have wanted to do, but Rihanna's got a big name as well, and she's got big backers, and that's wonderful. And I'm really happy that she's set a precedent that now a lot of brands are having to follow. Even though, actually, the truth of it is, MAC's always done all those colours. So has Bobbi Brown. They just didn't shout about it.
Yeah.
And they should have done.
Yeah.
Because actually, that's such a big thing. We should be talking about that more.
So, what next for you? So are you going to carry on just taking a little bit of a step back and just focusing on your love projects, things you really want to do?
Yes, really. I suppose we're going to put a lot more energy into Real Techniques.
Yeah.
Because actually, we've been doing it for, you know, what is it, 7 years now, working with Real Techniques?
That was yours to begin with, wasn't it? And then Nick joined, am I right?
That's right. Yeah. So I feel like with everything that happened over the last few years with our health, you know, we haven't maybe given it the love that we should have done. Mm. So we're going to go back into that fully and embrace that, put a lot of energy into that. I'm going to continue enjoying Instagram and pushing that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to take on anything else.
Good.
I'm not going to take on Snapchat. I'm not going to take on any other new platforms that just pop up. I'm just not going to do it. And I'm just going to enjoy my life because social media is round the clock.
Yeah.
You know, when people in the UK go to sleep, people in the US are awake.
Yeah.
You know, so it's easy to just stay up working until 4 a.m. And it just messes with your life.
Yeah.
You have to learn to switch off. None of this stuff makes you happy if you're not happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just becomes things that you own and things that actually own you. And that's really important. You've got to step away from it and you've got to go, actually, I just want to go for a walk. Like, I'm painting myself as a little bit of a nutter.
You're
here.
Not.
Okay.
You're not.
Oh, yeah, because you haven't heard what I'm about to say.
Okay, go on then.
So I got into running. This is what happened. When I was in the peak of my depression, I'd signed up for so many things to make me happy, right? So I went down this rabbit hole of things. One of the things I signed up for was a half marathon, okay? Now, I've never run in my life, but in my head, I was like, this is going to be brilliant. I'm going to get fit. And what actually happened was I went into denial about the fact that I'd signed up for this marathon. I pretended it wasn't happening and I didn't train once. And I did a half marathon with no training. Now, I did it. I completed it and I raised a bunch of money for charity and that was amazing. But after that, I thought to myself, right, that was really silly. Mm-hmm. You actually should do it for your, you know, go out for your mental health. So I started running and I've really enjoyed it because this is the way I do it. When I used to try to run, I needed all the paraphernalia. I needed the best Nike trainers and all of the best kit and the best wireless headphones and all of this stuff. Then I'd go out and then my headphones wouldn't work, or my Apple Watch wouldn't work, or something wouldn't work. And I'd be like, oh, I'm so frustrated. And I'd go home having not done a run. Now this is the thing. I put on all this old gear. I leave all the headphones and everything at home. And I just go out and I walk run. But I do a little history trip while I'm doing it. So I live in Norwich. So I go a different way every time so I don't get bored.
Yeah.
And I just like run for a bit, stop when I get a bit knackered, start running again. And it's not for losing weight. It's not for the fitness. It's just for the going out and enjoying it.
It's brilliant.
And that's the way I've been doing it. And I really, really enjoy it.
So healthy to have that mindset as well.
Yeah, because I put so much pressure on myself before to enjoy running and to be the best runner. And now I'm like, no, I'm not going to try and be the best at it. I'm just going to enjoy it.
And actually, you're not being an Instagram runner. You're being a real life runner.
Absolutely, a real life runner. Anyway, while I was running through the Norwich Cathedral, I noticed these guys. This is so Alan Partridge. So they've got, this is so Norwich. They've got this like marquee thing set up and massive cameras and big binoculars, and they're all looking up at the spire. Anyway, there's these peregrine falcons that have nested there. They've got like their eggs and the chicks have just hatched.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is amazing. I need binoculars. I need to see. So I went and got binoculars, and then I started going to the cathedral every day so I could see these birds. And I would just sit there for half an hour looking at these birds going, am I okay? Am I okay, or am I on a slippery slope here? Because I'm really enjoying this, but that's is it all right for a 40-year-old woman to do this?
To become a bird watcher.
I know. I was like,
it's fine.
So Partridge.
So Partridge.
Yes.
And also, I actually had to tell friends about it, and everyone looked at me like, this is it. She's completely gone. It was amazing.
The thing is, if you were to go on your YouTube channel or on Instagram and say, these binoculars are amazing, you should do this, you're going to have a whole nation of like 13-year-old girls out bird watching.
It is amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. It really is. Anyway.
Do you know what I love about it? Thank you so much for sharing so much and being you. This is you, though. This is why you're so popular, just for being honest and for being you. And and thank you. And I hope that, you know, choosing just to take that step back and enjoy your life in the way you want to will really work for you.
Yeah, thank you. It is so far. I've really enjoyed
you
this.
You look
Thanks,
happy.
Girls.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you.
Aww.
I've known Sam and Nick pretty much since the beginning of Pixie Roo. And the one thing I'd say is they haven't changed. Their lives have changed. Things have happened to them, but they're still the same lovely girls. And just seeing Sam then, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. She's so successful, but she's still open, honest, and genuinely the kind of girl you just want to go to the pub with and have a drink. So fitting in with our theme this episode, our recommendations are products that we've discovered on social media, products that have gone viral, that we've been lured into buying and have absolutely loved. And Rachel, what have you got to recommend?
Okay, so I think the generation that I sit in will all know about Anastasia Beverly Hills. If you don't know the brand, get to know the brand because it's great. Anyway, Anastasia Beverly Hills was just sort of blew up overnight, I think, on Instagram. And loads of makeup artists were using it and it just went everywhere. And I bought the Anastasia Beverly Hills Dip Brow Pomade. It was £19. And I think when I bought it, you know, not really a big spender on makeup, I was a bit shocked. I was like, oh, I'm spending £19. It better be worth it. Honestly, it was worth every penny. So for me, I use Taupe and it just honestly sits so well on my eyebrows. I've used pencils all my life, and for me to go to this type of product, it was very different for me and I really loved it. And because I am a big eyebrow lover, love my eyebrows, I like bushier the brow the better. So because with this, it was really nice because I could make them as thick as I wanted.
And you do, every single guest we ever get on this podcast always says your brows are amazing. So you must
And I take credit for it because I bloody love them.
You have got lovely brows. So Anastasia, okay. For me,
I was fascinated by the launch of Glossier because everything about it was so irresistible. I just wanted everything. Just to give a bit of background, I mean, Glossier really launched on social media via Get the Gloss, the blog, and also on Instagram. All their packaging is Instagram friendly. You even get emoji stickers that you can put on the packaging and then take photos of. It could not be more related. The product that I love from the range is their Cloud Paint. It's a little, it looks like a little tube of paint, a tiny tube of paint, and it's a blush that goes on very seamlessly. It blends beautifully. It comes in a nice little range of colours, and it's just a very easy to use product. Anyone can use it on the go. It's just a very easy to use, effortless product, stays on your cheeks and makes them look perky and nice. It's great, absolutely great. The other social media phenomena who is probably more in my age category is Trini. She's done absolutely amazingly. She's launched Trini London, an entire range of makeup, via doing the most compelling videos on YouTube and just being a total social media star. Now, from her range, Trini London, I really like her beauty stacks. So you get, do you remember the Body Shop used to do these
yeah,
little stacks?
Yeah.
Well, Trini does them now. So little pots of wonder. From the range, I love the lip glow. I've got the lip glow in Talis, and I love her little cheek pots that you can also use on your lips, actually. And I've actually gone for a very, very bright one. It's like a very bright coral. But what I love about these is you just put them in your handbag and you're good to go. They've got foundations, they've got concealers. Dab your finger and put it on, easy peasy, and it just really, really works. And also, what's really good is you go onto the Trini London website and you can put in all your personal details, and they'll tell us, they'll recommend the products that suit your skin tone and hair tone, and that does work as well. So Trini has done brilliantly.
I do have one final recommendation, and I said it before when I thanked Sam in the interview, but it will be the Real Techniques Beauty Blender. It honestly changed my life. It was what I realised I needed to use in order to make my makeup sit and settle on my face. I think it's brilliant. It's the small orangey sponge.
I've got
They have loads of different ones now. They've got different like precision tools and stuff. But for me, this little sponge is just brilliant. And I think I've previously bought different sponges, but this always proves to be the best one. And I wet my sponge as well, and it goes huge, which is so good because you get more coverage.
But it's a great product. How often do you wash your sponge?
I tend to wash it. I don't know.
If you were to wash your sponge.
I tend to wash my sponge when I get a spare. When I remember to
What do you use to wash it?
I just use soap and water.
Yeah.
Either use soap and water, or I use like a micellar water in shower.
Yeah.
Take your makeup off. No, your teapot.
I think those blenders are fantastic. The finish they give with the foundation is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So there you go. Just a few things, a few products that have done brilliantly. And, you know, it would be interesting if this isn't a fashion podcast, but so many fashion brands as well have just done amazingly well. So every episode I have my wild card, which is just a product that I've been testing and really, really love. I suppose this is slightly related to social media because Caroline Hirons has been going on about this brand for ages. And I don't think I would have got to know them so early on if it wasn't for Caroline. So Kate Somerville, huge in the United States. She's available now in the UK. Her stuff is very, very effective. It's also quite expensive. So my favourite product from the Kate Somerville range is called Exfoliate. Now, it improves your skin texture and your pores, but it also improves the appearance of your crow's feet and your fine lines. And actually, over time, it does apparently reduce them. What I'd say is when you use this, you instantly look better. So if you're going out, you know, I would do the scrub before going out and think, yes, my skin looks amazing. It's a mixture of a physical exfoliant, so you can really feel it working, but also got an array of acids. So it's got lactic acid, silica, it's got papaya and pineapple and pumpkin enzymes, all those things that when you put it on, you feel that tingle and you feel it's doing some good and it's just getting rid of all the debris on your skin. So it's very good for letting products then kind of get into the skin afterwards, like serums. It's a phenomenal product. It's £72. So again, a very expensive product, but one that if you want to treat yourself to something that will work, it will work, then yes, go for it. So we hope you've enjoyed this episode. I think it'll be really interesting to see where social media goes and also where beauty goes. And, you know, I think they're just going to become more and more entwined. want to know about any of the products we spoke about during the episode, head to outspokenbeauty.co.uk.
If you want to go and give us a stalk on the old Twitter, you can follow us at @outspokenbeauty.
And to see what happens behind the scenes and in our everyday beauty world, check out our Instagram at @outspokenbeauty.
And if you like this episode, make sure you subscribe so you never have to miss an episode. And also, tell all your friends.